To the book of Acts, chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20, and verses 4 through 12. Amen. I would like to say, maybe I should have said this before everyone left this morning, we have a special speaker that's going to be with us tonight. Brother John Mason will be here in the service tonight. So get a friend and bring them to the house of God tonight. Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. And there accompanied him, that would be the Apostle Paul, into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus of Asia, and Tysius, and Trophimus. Amen. I'm glad we have names here in America like Joe and Sam and George. Amen. These going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days. He's talking about his journey here, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, that would have been a certain time during the day, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech or his preaching until midnight. Everybody said midnight. They had to turn the lights on, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into deep sleep. You know, it's not a new phenomenon that sometimes folks fall asleep at church. We've got a little 7-year-old, I believe, Brennan's 7. And somebody asked him why he comes to church, and he said, to sleep. Well, he's just being honest, and that's okay. Praise the Lord. And he fell down from the third story, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him. Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, now get the picture, he comes down 3 floors, he raises the young man up from the dead, and then he comes back up to the 3rd floor, and he had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day. So he went till midnight, and then they had a little disruption, and then he got back into it, and he ministered and talked the word of God until the break of day. So he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Praise God. Well, I'll just say this morning that it takes people that love the word of God, that are willing to go that long and listen to the word of God. Please don't worry this morning. We're not going to go until the break of day or until midnight. Amen. But there was something in the New Testament church that was so profound, and that was a love for the Word of God. Amen. And that's what we try to do here, is to promote a love for the Word of God. And I want to talk about that tonight. Or this morning, rather. Praise God. I'm already about to fall asleep. No, really, I'm not. God bless you. Let's pray and ask for the anointing upon the Word of God. Lord, we give you thanks this morning. We give you honor and praise for your holy Word. We pray that you will anoint it this morning, that you will give us revelation through the Word of God. We give you praise and thanks this morning in Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated today. Amen. I began to look in the Word of God, in the Bible, as I was preparing my notes for this morning. And the words, there's two words that appear in the scriptures in a fair number of places. And those two words are thy word. Now, just so we get that in our mind, let's all say that together. Thy word.
Thy word.
Thy word. His word. And thy word is recorded as being said by Jesus only in the book of John. And in the book of John, it's recorded in three places. And those three places are in the same chapter. And so there was a theme that he was going to teach from. And of course, John was the beloved of our Lord and wrote the book of John in that perspective, from the perspective of his love for the Lord and the Word of God. And if we look at the Word of God this morning honestly, we will see that the Word of God is vital to our spiritual survival. And we're living in a day today when we need to have spiritual survival. But I've got a feeling that it's more than just survival. Amen. The Lord wants His church to be advancing into the kingdom of darkness and doing a work for Him. Praise God. But it's vital for survival because it contains thy word. Amen. And so what we're ministering from and what we have fallen in love with is not just another book. Amen. I could go into the word of God this morning. Many say today, that doesn't apply to us today. Or is this really the word of God? How do we know that it's the Word of God? Well, I could spend the entire morning this morning talking about how we know that the Bible is, in fact, the Word of God.
Amen.
And it is the Word of God. And so when we minister from the Bible, it is thy Word. And so when we know this, it gives us something. John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus is talking about the Word of God. And it says here, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. What a very powerful thing when we begin to consider that, that the Word of God is, the Bible that we have this morning, as I've already said, is not just another book, but it is thy Word. And it profits nothing to approach it from the flesh, but the words that we read in here, they are spirit and they are life. There is life in the Word of God, and there is revelation in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And so when we look at the Bible, or if you look at your Bible, the Bible that you hopefully have here this morning, it will take on a whole new meaning, and it will be thy word. Amen. I try my best. I've got my study Bible at home, my reading Bible at home. And we are going through the entire Bible this year. And I've got it in a prominent place where I put it. And I've come to the place where I don't put anything on top of my Bible. It's not just one book in amongst another book or a bunch of papers or whatever. But it is the Word of God. Do you feel that way this morning about your Bible? It's a holy book. It is the Scripture. It is inspired by God, and I don't have the time this morning to go through all of that, but it is literally a supernatural book. There is no other book that is written like the Bible because it is the Word of God. It contains prophecies that when you look at it, just the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, excuse me, When you look at the Old Testament, there are approximately 300 prophecies of Jesus Christ, many of them very, very specific. None of his bones would be broken. 30 pieces of silver was the price that Judas did, and it's brought out in the book of Jeremiah hundreds of years before it was fulfilled. Somebody said one time they figured out, I don't know how they figured it, but they figured the odds of 300 prophecies over several millennium, considering one individual, 300 different prophecies all fulfilled in one man, that the odds would be 1 to 1 with 32 zeros behind it. And it literally would be an impossibility for that to take place. But with God, nothing is impossible. And when God wrote his word, he gave us prophecy in the word of God. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I believe that we're living in the day of the fulfilling of prophecy. There are many troubles, but to get centered in your life and to have a foundation in your life, and I'm going to talk about that for just a moment here, but to have that solid foundation in your life, you've got to be on something solid. And the only thing that's solid in our world today is the Word of God. I know there are many that don't believe that and many that are against that, but that's all right. Let them say what they want to say. We're going to stand on something solid. Praise God. And so with the understanding, this understanding, life takes on a whole new meaning. And your life will take on a whole new meaning when it's surrounded by thy word. Amen. And David, who had some things to say about the word of God, he had many troubles, many, many troubles in his short 70 years on this earth. And yet David came to a revelation of the word of God that kept him and it lightened his pathway and gave him understanding when anything else would not. David literally became a lover of the word of God. I think that's probably one reason why the Lord chose through David that the Messiah would come. Amen. And the sure mercies of David that we read about in Scripture. And in fact, the city of Zion or the city of David is where the tabernacle or where the temple was built. God loved David. He had a heart after God's heart. And folks, we've got to have a heart after God's heart in the day that we're living. Praise God. He had a lot of troubles in his short 70 years, but he found something that he could fall in love with. And I'll just read a couple of the verses that he wrote. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 11, it says, thy word. Everybody said, thy word. Thy word. There, it comes back to that again. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Praise God. And so David understood that to be free from sin or to help him not to sin against God, he had to have the word of God in his heart. Amen. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 130. Here's a very powerful scripture that'll give you some understanding. Psalm 119 and verse 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Praise God. And when we look at that here this morning, the word simple actually means foolish or silly. Amen. And the silly, the foolish will be delivered from their simplicity by the word of God. You say, well, how can that happen? It happens because the word of God, really, when you look at your Bible and you begin to go deeper than just reading the Word of God, but studying the Word of God and praying for revelation from the Word of God. There is something about it. It has a way of changing the course of your life. Well, praise God. It really does. It changes the course of your life. Things that you're doing that you read about in the Scriptures, we move and we change to line up to the Word of God. And the Lord does want to change us. Amen. And I know that's not an exciting word because we love our simplicity and we love our life as we have developed it. But I'm here to tell you today that the Lord wants to change us more and more into His image. Praise God. And that means that there has to be changes in our life. But we don't change just because a counselor's told us to change, but we change because it's in the Word of God. Somebody said amen. Amen. John chapter 17 and verse 14. Here's Jesus speaking about the Word again. And this is one of three places in the book of John, chapter 17, where our Lord talks about the Word of God and what it is to do in our lives. John 17 and verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And so when we approach God, the very first thing that He does here is He gives us His Word. He's talking about His disciples here, and He said, I have given them thy word. Amen. And this revelation is so simple that really anybody can grasp it. The Word is like a seed. Jesus used that in more than one parable. A sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, he had four different types of soil that he sowed upon, but the seed is the Word of God. Yeah. Amen. I have given them thy word. Yeah. And if there's ever a country that has enough of the Word of God to have a revival, it's America. Yeah. I think probably in 99% of all homes in America, there sits a Bible somewhere. But we have to go deeper than this. And we understand this morning that the Word is a miracle seed. We understand that it's the manna that comes down from heaven to mankind. And it's not just words that He has given to us. It is revelation. Amen. And it's revelation about God. It's revelation about yourself. Amen. Amen. And it's a revelation about your relationship with God. If you're struggling with a relationship with God, I want you to know this morning that it's the Word of God that you have to get a hold of and get a revelation from. Praise God. Because the Lord wants to get to know you and I. He wants to draw close to us. Praise God. He's given us His Word, and through the Word of God, He wants to give us a revelation about our personal situations and what to do to guide us through those personal situations. Amen. Well, praise God. I believe this morning that everything that you're struggling with is found in the Word of God somewhere. Amen. And that's where victory comes from. So, He gave us His Word. Do you have the Word this morning? Has anybody ever read the Word this morning? Amen. That's the Word of God that's come down to us. And then He goes further. And He says in John 17 and verse 17, three verses down, He says here, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so there's the word thy truth again. And so it's more than just giving us the Word of God. There is the desire of God to sanctify us by the Word of God. And I'm just giving us an outline here this morning. You can go home and study this out more. And there's a whole lot more than what I will cover here this morning. But the word sanctify there means to make holy or to purify. Amen. And so the truth or the word by itself is not enough to purify. It must be obeyed. Praise God. And so it comes down to a more of a practical thing here than just reading a story that happened in Scripture or reading through your Bible in the course of a year. You can get all tangled up there in 1st and 2nd Chronicles and say, this just doesn't apply to me. But if you'll just stick with the Word of God, there's something that God will do. God gets involved. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you get a hold of the Word of God and you take it into yourself personally, you are going to connect not only with the Word of God, but with God Himself. Well, praise the Lord. And when you connect with God, just like Moses did when he was out tending the sheep in the wilderness and he saw a bush burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed, Scripture tells us that he drew near and the Lord spoke to him out of the burning bush. And what did the Lord say? Take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. You're not going to approach me with something on that is unholy, but you're going to approach me with purity. Amen. And of course, none of us are pure, but it is the Word of God that makes us holy and purifies us when we obey it. Amen. God is a holy God this morning. He is holy. He is pure. There's nothing about him that is dark. The Bible says that in him is light and there is no darkness at all in him. That's the kind of God that we're serving here. And so when we touch something that is dirty, we get dirty, don't we? We get dirty when we touch dirty things. And you don't even really have to touch a whole lot. Just go through the course of a day. Even if you work in a office somewhere, you come home and wash your hands, and there's all kinds of dirt that comes off of your hands. And it's because when we touch unclean things, we become unclean. But when God touches something, it becomes holy. Praise God. God can touch dirt, and it becomes holy ground. And when God touches something that is unclean, he does not become unclean, but he remains holy, and that which was unclean becomes holy. Praise God. We serve an awesome God here this morning. And I feel his presence here today. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so the word is not enough to purify us just by reading the word or coming to the house of God to hear the preaching of the word. That's really not enough. If you want to build your life on a solid footing, you've got to hear the word. And the Bible says, how can we hear except there be a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? And we know that scripture this morning. Amen. So we've got to hear the word, but then we must do the word. There's more to it than just coming to church and hearing the word of God. Amen. What we do outside the house of God should square with what we profess with our mouths. Praise God. Amen. And so there is the changing or the purifying to make holy. That means that it wasn't holy at one point, but it makes us holy. Amen. And if we are not a doer of the word, then we're going to be building our life on something that's not very secure. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Let me turn there this morning and let's look at the scriptures. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Everybody said, do them. Amen. So there is a personal interaction with the Word of God. It's not just a matter of hearing the Word of God, but we must do the Word of God. And I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Thank God for that. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came. Notice the same problems and tribulations came to the man on the rock and the man on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Praise God. And so the Word of God is very, very important. It's important how we approach the Word of God. It is not enough just to come and hear the Word of God, but we must be doers of the Word of God. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I just want to work on this a moment here this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23. And say amen when you get there. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit or through the Holy Ghost, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Praise God. We have an awesome word here this morning. It is not going to pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so, verse 22 there, seeing you have purified your souls, not just in hearing the word of God, but in obedience to the word of God. And it's amazing to me that when John or Peter or the apostles wrote, especially John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he talked about loving one another. Amen. And that it was the mark of Christianity. It was the mark of spirituality. And so the soul of man, the part of us that's going to live for eternity, it starts out impure. It starts out unholy. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when we approach God, we approach him in our corruption. Amen. We approach him in our sins, and he touches us and changes us. But we don't go out the house of God the same way. Amen. In Old Testament times, when they would come to the temple, if they came one way, they could not go home the same way. They had to go home a different way. And the change that God wants to bring into our lives, true, real changes, comes only by hearing and doing the Word of God. I want to ask you this morning, are you doing the Word of God? Amen. Well, praise God. I'm glad we don't have to do it all on our own, but he helps us when we are weak. He is strong, and when we fall short, he picks us back up. Praise God. Thank God for that this morning. And so he gives us his Word, and then it is his will that he sanctifies us by his Word. And then verse 6 of John chapter 17, the third time that Jesus talked about thy word, He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. So there's a couple of things there I'd just like to touch on. And the first one is the word manifested. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Someone was talking to us last night, and they were teaching a Bible study, and a spirit of revelation came into the room. And I've seen it happen so very, very many times. How many of you remember going to school? I'm not that old yet. I still remember grade school, and I remember some of the things that I thought were so, so difficult. And I remember the time that everybody in the class had to stand up. This is in grade school. I think it was first or second grade. And everybody had to count to 100. And 100 was like this massive mountain that I had to climb over. And I wasn't sure that I was going to be able to make it, Hunter. I started out with one, and I got to 10. And there was a few times that I messed up, but I got back on track and finally made it to 100. And I didn't know why we had to do that until the teacher started saying, if you've got one finger and one finger, you have two fingers. So 1 + 1 = 2. And I know you didn't come to church here this morning to hear mathematics, but I remember in division, I think it was division or multiplication, which is pretty much the same thing. I remember the teacher teaching on it, and it was like going over the top of my head, and I couldn't really understand it all the way. And then something was said, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but all of a sudden a revelation came to me. Has anybody ever had that happen to you? A certain revelation about mathematics or maybe English or whatever. And the feeling that you had when that revelation came to you. Wow, that's awesome. I get it. And when you get it, a whole new world opens up for you. Because when you get a revelation of addition and subtraction and multiplication and division, then you're able to go to other things like algebra and calculus, and some of us, that leaves us, and we never attain to that revelation. And that's okay, because I really don't need calculus in my everyday life. Now, some of you here this morning, you do use that, and it's how you make your living. But I'm just talking about the revelation part of it. Revelation is light. Amen. Revelation is light. If you get up in the middle of the night and you walk out of your bed, you've got to have some light, or you're going to trip over something that's so simple and so small, you're not going to be able to make it over to where you're going, the kitchen or whatever. Amen. You got to have some light. We've got little lights that are plugged into the wall. And when it gets dark, the lights come on so we can kind of maneuver around if we need to. And you're not going to really be blessed. You're going to trip and fall and God forbid, break a bone or something like that, hit your head, simply because you don't have any light. Amen. Light is revelation. Amen. Light is revelation. I remember when I pastored in Marshfield, Wisconsin, I went hunting with some of the men in the church, and I don't know if they were just picking on me, but they took me to the deepest part of the woods. And in Wisconsin, they've got trees that are kind of like down in Arkansas or Georgia, those big trees that go up 100 feet or 50 feet or whatever. And they put me in a deer stand up in one of those trees. It was pitch black dark, and then, or it was evening time rather, and it started to get dark, and I didn't see any deer, but I didn't know where I was. And it got darker, and it got darker, and it gets pretty dark in the forest, and you begin to wonder if you're going to find your way out. I mean, I was way back in the woods, and so I looked straight up, and I thought, if I can find out where the sun is, I couldn't even see the sun, but I saw a glow that was brighter than all of the other glows. And I said, I just need to follow after that light. I'm just going to go in that direction because I know that's the right direction. And finally, I broke through, but logs that or branches that were just small, it was so easy to trip over them because there wasn't any light. Amen. But if you've got full sunlight, you can just step over those branches. You could probably run and jump over those branches when there's light. And there are many, many, amen, maybe some here this morning under the sound of my voice, and you're tripping over little things in your life and not really knowing why you're tripping over that. Well, it's because of a lack of light. Amen. Revelation. Revelation gives us direction. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. And when we get a hold of this revelation, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Amen. It's a revelation. He manifests things to us. And when we get that revelation, we cherish it and we keep it. Amen. Because he said, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Praise God. Aren't we living in a time today when many are changing the word of God? Amen. We had a large denomination that came to Wichita for their conference, their yearly conference, and some of the ministers in that particular religion, I'm not slamming anybody, but they had meetings and they put forth some sort of resolution that was supposed to be voted on whether or not Sophia was the creator of the universe. Folks, God helping us, we're never going to get to that place.
Amen.
Well, praise God. We cannot get to the place where we go after other gods. Amen. And there are so many gods in our world today that people are chasing after. Amen. We've got to keep the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to keep the word of God. There's only one God. We've got to keep that.
Amen.
And hold that dear to our hearts.
Amen.
You must be born again or you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Praise God. Jesus talked about that in John chapter 3. And I won't turn there this morning. But you've got to be born again if you're going to enter into the kingdom. And Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? He said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. There is water baptism, just like the children of Israel were baptized unto Moses in the sea, and they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud. Amen. We've got to hang on to the gospel that Jesus Christ gave to us. Paul talked about the gospel. His ministry was the gospel. Wherever he went, he preached the word of God, the gospel, the good news. Amen. But what is the gospel? You see, it's very important that we know the word of God. It's not just enough to hear it, but we have to have a revelation of it. And Paul declared in Corinthians, he said that the gospel is that Jesus died. Isn't that great? He died for my sins.
Amen.
Died for your sins. Amen. Jesus died and he was buried. Amen. And that he rose again on the third day. That is scripturally what the gospel is. Amen. Yes, the gospel is good news, but if you get a check in the mail, that's good news too. What is the good news? The good news is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. It's amazing to me how many don't understand that or have not received a simple revelation from the Word of God. And Paul said in another place, he said, we are saved by obedience to the gospel, that we must obey the gospel. Well, how can we obey something that's not even promoted as a commandment? He died, he was buried, and he rose again. How can we obey the gospel? Well, we obey the gospel by going with him through the same thing. And I don't have this on my notes, but I just want to turn there real quickly to Romans chapter 6. And if you'll turn there with me this morning. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, Paul is talking about this. And it says, knowing this, so there's a revelation right there. Knowing this, that our old man or our old lifestyle is crucified with him. Everybody said with him. Knowing that our old man is crucified with him. So you and I, well, let me finish the verse there, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or hereafter we should not serve sin. And so the old man is crucified with him. Jesus died by crucifixion. You and I must be crucified with him. Now, we understand this morning that that is not a literal crucifixion, but there is a scriptural word that defines this, and it is called repentance. Yes. Repentance. You know, we're talking about, I have heard some that are saying that there's going to be a great revival in the end times, but I want you to know this morning, I pray that that is the truth and that's the way it works and the way it goes. But there has never been a revival in the history of the church that did not start with a time and a season of true repentance. Praise God. One of the old evangelists back in the late 1800s that went through America preached one message, and I don't remember where it was at. I think it was in the state of Illinois or Indiana, one of the two. And he preached with such conviction that after it was over with, there were 600 bars that shut down. Now, I want you to know that's what repentance is really all about. Come on, somebody, help the pastor this morning. Amen. I know it's not popular, but it's still the truth of the Word of God. We must be crucified with him. There has to be something that we do, and we've already talked about that. Amen. But he said that the old man is crucified with him. And then Jesus was buried. That's the gospel. He died, and he was buried. And then the scripture says in verse 4, actually, verse 3 and verse 4, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him. There's that word with him again. That we are buried with him by baptism into death. Amen. And so we die with him in repentance. That's our part. We are buried with him by baptism. That's our part. But thank God there's more to it than just what we do in obeying the commandments of God. Amen. Amen. There's much more to it than that. And that is the supernatural thing that God does with us and for us and through us. Amen. So that we can live for God with authority and power over sin. Praise God. And it's found there in the last part of verse 4. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead, there's the resurrection, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. And the Spirit, Paul said in one place, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. This is the resurrection part of the gospel. And so that's why Peter, if you'll turn with me, and this isn't in my notes here this morning, but let's look at it real quickly. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 and verse 38. Amen. I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of the Lord in this place this morning. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. When they heard this, what did they hear? They heard that they had crucified the Lord and Christ in verse 36. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. They were condemned. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? There is something that we must do. Praise God. And you say, but we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. That's absolutely scriptural. But I want you to know that there are two types of works in the scripture. And I won't get into it deeply here this morning. But one is the works of the flesh, and the other is the works of faith. James said that faith without works is dead. You got to know what kind of works he was talking about. Amen. And the works that he was talking about was actually, you could look it up scripturally and find out that it actually means obedience to the commandments. Jesus said in Mark 16 and 16, amen. Well, praise God. He said, except a man be born, except he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I got other scriptures going on in my head here this morning. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Amen. There is a commandment that we must follow. And so what did Peter say to them? This is the birthday of the church. This is the first message that was ever preached in the New Testament church. It was preached by the Apostle Peter, who had followed Jesus Christ and got a revelation of the word directly from him. His answer was, then Peter said unto them, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the washing away of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise God. When you latch on to the Word of God, it literally becomes a revelation. It becomes a revelation. It's similar to that school analogy that I used. Amen. And when we receive the Word of God, folks, we've got to hold on for dear life. Amen. Because there are many things that will come, and probably the greatest thing that will come against you is not the devil or the world. Amen. But it's your flesh. It will be your flesh that will try to get you away from the Lord. You say, well, what about the scripture that you read when you started this morning? Well, it goes back to the Word of God. Here the Apostle Paul, he came to this particular town, and they began to break bread, and Paul just could not keep himself quiet and started talking about the Word of God. Amen. Anybody ever done that? Go to a friend's house, you start talking about the Word of God. Well, it might last for 30 minutes or an hour or whatever, but if they broke bread in the afternoon, their evening meal, Paul started talking, and if Paul started talking, you better be ready for a long message. Amen. Because he went till midnight. Amen. Midnight came around. The sun was sinking in the sky, started getting darker and darker. Somebody lit a lamp so they could all see, and he just kept on going and going and going. Somebody got tired, fell out the window, and was killed when he hit the ground. Paul went down and healed him, brought him back up, and he began to preach again, and it went all the way until the morning. And we say, why did they have such great revival in the New Testament? I'll tell you why. They loved the Word of God. It really comes down to that. They loved the Word of God. They were willing to do whatever the Lord asked them to do. Amen. They were not pick and choose, but they loved the Word of God. Praise God. How much this morning are you connected to the Word of God? Are you having problems this morning? Find that problem in the Word of God. Find its direction. Get a revelation of how it's going to work in your life. And I want you to know God will change you. He may not change your situation, but He'll change you. I've had it happen so many, many times. And change is difficult, but the Scripture says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. How does He deliver us out of our afflictions? Amen. By the Word of God. Let's stand together. Can we do that? I thank God for His Word. I thank God for His Word. When I first came to the house of God, I was just a young 19-year-old boy, searching and looking, didn't know anything about anything. So naive, so gullible. And I walked into the house of God for the very first time in my life, and I felt the loving arms of God wrapped around me. I knew that I had come home. I had never picked up the Bible and read it one time, but there was something about it. I knew that God was in this place, and I felt Him in such a powerful, powerful way. Praise God. Praise God. My wife read a story to me. You know, God is a real God this morning. His Word is real. The Scripture that says, I was once young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Anybody ever read that Scripture? That's the Word of God. There's a revelation that goes along with that. And some friends of ours that we've known for many years and have not connected for many, many years, she wrote a story that happened while they were evangelizing, and this is many years ago. They were a part of the church that I was saved in and went out on the evangelistic field. And she was with child and went to the doctor. And the doctor said, you're very, very low in protein. And if you don't get any protein, you may lose the baby and it may hurt you. And the doctor said, if you'll just eat one egg a day, you should be fine. That'll be enough protein for you to make it through. And I don't know how far along she was, but they didn't have any money. We don't understand those things today. They didn't have any money. They didn't have enough money to buy an egg, let alone buy one every day. And so what do? We go to God. We go to the Word of God. We stand on the Word of God. This is a true story. And so they prayed and they said, Lord, we need help. We need help. And so the very next morning, he was looking out the window, and over the hill comes a chicken. And the chicken walked down the hill, down the road, turned up to where they were living, and came into their yard, and it wasn't very long, and they heard the chicken cackling. And they went out there, and there was an egg. And so he broke the egg, fixed it for his wife, and she ate it. As soon as the chicken laid the egg, it walked back out of the yard, down the road, and over the hill. Praise God. The next morning, He looked out the window. The same time, the chicken was coming over the hill, come down the road, went up into their yard. They heard the chicken cackle, went out there. The chicken had already left their yard, back over the hill. There was an egg. He fixed an egg for his wife. And they said every day, like clockwork, the chicken came over the hill, came down the road, laid an egg in their yard, and then left. And the day that she delivered the child, the chicken never came back. His job was done. Praise God. Now that may not impress anybody here this morning, but I just know that's God moving in somebody's life. Say, well, I don't relate to that. I hope that you never have to relate to that. But I love the miracle hand of God. I love the Word of God this morning because it is the Word of God that is truth. Amen. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to bless us. Lord, we lean on You this morning. Lord, we thank You this morning for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that You would anoint it right now to every heart, that it would find its mark in every life this morning. I pray, Lord, that You will give us more and more revelation of Your Word, that we would have faith, that we would have joy, that we would have confidence this morning. I give You thanks, I give You honor, I give You praise. In Jesus' name.